and welcome to the Laundry Chat podcast, a place where we help each other sort out life's laundry. My name is Molly Marco, and you are listening to episode 21. You probably have never heard of my friend Kyle. He isn't on TV, he doesn't have social media, and he's not striving to be famous. But I think that's what I appreciate most about him. He is always himself, and always fully with you. Being an Enneagram 5, he's better at observing than observing his emotions, which as an Enneagram 4 is something I definitely need to take more notes on and get better at. Kyle is one of the first people I met in college, and from then on has become a friend, a neighbor, a problem solver, a fellow Star Wars fan, and someone I will never forget. In this conversation, we talked about facts and feelings, opinions and open-mindedness, social media, and being sensitive. This conversation is jam-packed with insight and experience from two seemingly opposite perspectives on the world, but ones that I think both work better together. If you ever decide to listen to this, Kyle, thank you for doing it. Truly, I'm grateful that one of our many discussions is now forever documented, and I hope that it helps all of you listening in one way or another, whether it be seeing the bigger picture in life, not letting small emotions take over, or just deciding to save the environment. All right, let's get into the interview with my friend and fellow Jedi, Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Molly.
How is it going?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good. Like I said, I'm excited to have you on here. I'm just excited. So, for everyone, I mean, I'm sure people who are listening actually don't know who you are. So tell us a little bit about yourself. For those who don't know.
All right. My name is Kyle Manning. I'm a senior here at the University of Wisconsin River Falls, graduating with a degree in conservation and a minor in sustainable studies. That's me.
That's it.
I think. I don't know. What else would you like me to say about?
I think that's good.
Okay.
So what do you want to do with your major then? What are you going to do with that?
Save the world, I suppose.
That's
probably
noble.
Probably not. But I like to take care of habitat, I suppose, to make habitat for animals. I like to do hunting, so if I was going to go hunting, I'd like to have good land and, a lot of deer or turkey on it that I hunt. But I want to do it responsibly so that there will be many deer and turkey to come for many years.
That's awesome. Yeah, so basically saving the world.
Yeah, basically saving the world, most of the time.
That's cool. Me and Kyle have known each other all 4 years of college, which is actually kind of crazy. I never have thought of that before, actually. I mean, I have, but,
It's been four years. It's been a very short 4 years.
It has, actually. And now we survived dorm life, and now we're basically neighbors for the past 2 years now. That's so weird. Like, to say things in years just seems like way too massive
daunting
of a time.
Almost,
yeah, it's like, oh my gosh. So Kyle, I want to start asking everyone on the podcast this question, but it's, what's your dirty laundry lately? What's something you've been struggling with, something that's annoying you, something that's been bothering you, even just like something, any big or small, whatever it is. The deeds.
Burden. Huh. I don't know.
Grab a coffee, actually.
I guess if I was to say my dirty laundry, stuff that I need to clean and organize, would probably be my room, first of all. I mean, moving out's a process, so I gotta start organizing all that and getting that ready to be moved out. But that's not what you're looking for, is it?
if that's really bothering you, then yes, but...
Not anymore. I've got most of it done, so it's not really on my to-do list. But I guess making sure that I say, do the farewell deal, make sure everybody knows that, all right, I'm leaving school now, and I'm going to be gone for 6 months, and then kind of organizing that so I don't forget anyone. I think that's probably going to be the hardest thing.
Yeah. That's a stressful... I think goodbyes are so... Like, I would rather almost, like, avoid them because you want them to be special, but you don't want them to... Like, it just feels so heavy to say goodbye.
I don't even know about that. I think it's more of the fact of, like, getting to the location that the person is and saying goodbye to their face and, like, making sure, like, I'm gonna...
Yeah.
miss being around you on the occasion, you know,
mm-hmm.
like being like, all right, well, you're a friend, you know, this has been good, but I'm leaving now. We'll see it whenever we see you again.
Yeah.
And it's not so much like, oh, I'm sad that we're saying goodbye, but I need to organize the time. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To
make say sure goodbye. That it happens.
Right.
And yeah. And follow through and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most, I guess my dirty laundry. I don't know.
That's a good one.
That's the dirtiest thing in my basket right now.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, no, that's a good one. Something that, it is definitely something that would weigh, like, at least for me, like, thinking about Texas, I haven't thought about it much, but, like, I'm going to have to do that same thing.
Right.
And I just don't even want to.
Don't postpone it.
It's, no.
But the most stressful part is thinking, like, all right, well, I have to do this, and I have a month before I leave. Who do I say goodbye to first? Who do I know I'm not going to see?
Mm-hmm. And what's their schedule like?
Right, and what are they doing? So, but, you know, making sure that you say goodbye to the important people last, or do you say goodbye to the important people first? I mean, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So
I really haven't done a whole lot of it. I've kind of just been mashing it together, and if somebody wants to go say goodbye to me, they can come say goodbye to me.
Yeah, because it's coming up fast. If you guys, I don't know if we said, but you're going to Montana for your conservation thing.
Yep.
I don't know exactly what it's called, but like, yeah, so you'll be gone for 6 months, and that's, you're leaving in like...
Next week. Next week on Friday, I'll be leaving River Falls. I'll be leaving Hollandale on Saturday, getting there on Sunday. And then, settling down.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Everything changing. It's just weird. Let's change pace a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about your opinion on personality tests, like the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs, all of those those things. Like your honest opinion about them. Because like, you know that I'm like, I really like them. But I know a lot of people, even my roommate Ellie, like is kind of like, you know, I like them, but to a point. What are your opinions on stuff like that? Do you think they're accurate? Do you believe in them? Or do you think they're just...
I just want to say it's a crock crap. Yeah, it's just a load of honkies is how I initially it's how I initially feel about it. But I think I've done too many of them now to know that they're not. And I feel bad. Like I'm not proud in saying that I've done a lot of these tests, but a lot of the classes that I've taken have been like, all right, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get to know this person without actually getting to know this person? Well, taking these tests, I guess, is a pretty all right way of doing it. And sometimes the questions are kind of just weighted, it seems. I don't know. They don't always seem the most fair, but
yeah.
The one that you had me take was, there was a lot of questions, and apparently there was a lot of statistics behind it, so apparently they know what they're doing. And then reading the little piece of paper they gave me about it, it seemed pretty for the most part, pretty accurate. I mean, obviously there are generalizations, as with everything.
Yeah.
But I hate to say it, but the one that you had me do, I think is all right.
Decent, yeah. I think I like that one, too. Like, I was into the Myers-Briggs for a long time, and then just, like, last year I found the Enneagram, the one I had you do, and I just feel like there's a lot more flexibility in it, and a lot more, like, you can really, like, find yourself in it, and I think it's a lot more accurate, because it doesn't, like, put you in a certain category, and, like, be like, oh, no, since you're these four letters, you can only read these four letters, like,
right,
what number on the Enneagram are you?
5. I am number 5.
And what does that, kind of, like, do you know, maybe, it, like, so for you who don't know what the Enneagram is, and know what the Enneagram 5 is, I'm gonna read that thing. Type 5s are called the investigator. They believe knowledge is power. They collect ideas and skills, which you are a very, like, big collector of ideas and facts and, like, knowledge and all those things. Like, I feel like you're always just, like very curious about things. It says here, and this is, like, generally, they trust their head over their hearts. It says that, what else? They prefer solitude to relationships, which I could see. Not that, like, you don't, like, value relationships, but it's, like,
right.
you're a very independent person. You're not scared of being alone.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I know a lot of people who, they're terrified of being alone. So that's just a little recap of the Enneagram 5, which is Kyle. So the interesting thing about, sorry, I'm going to like,
no,
get, I'm almost done. I'm going to get to your question. I realize I'm talking.
Apparently it is an important thing to know.
Just to like, for some people who have no idea. So on the Enneagram, it's a circle and it goes like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Kyle is a 5 and I am a 4. So on the Enneagram, there's like all the numbers connect, but 4 and 5, like there isn't like a line connecting them. It's kind of like weird. So it's like the head and then the heart center. So I'm a heart center, you're a head center. And like it's, I'm like more feelings and Kyle is more facts. So I think that's interesting. Like, I don't know. I just think that's interesting. That,
right.
I don't know.
So close yet so far.
Yeah. And so I guess I kind of want to ask you about, like how, what's like your, like, maybe this, I think I maybe had a different question
how
I was going to ask
you. Get through the day.
Basically, yeah, no, but like, what does your typical day look like? What do you think about? What do you, like, what does it look like being an Enneagram 5 and having, like, just, like, the way, thinking the way that you do, thinking about, like, being curious about things, like, you know, ideas and all those things, like, I don't know, and also being alone a lot of the time. Or, I mean, I don't want to say that
right.
You're alone a lot of the time, but just being okay with that. Like, what does your a typical day look like?
All right. And this is where you having to ask questions is going to be very helpful.
Okay.
I
know.
I'm me every day.
Yeah.
You know,
so
this
you
is normal to me, so I don't typically describe. I don't typically wake up thinking,
yeah.
Man, I'm really thinking about thinking right now. No, I kind of wake up, and I guess if I'm walking you through the whole day, I kind of wake up, and I'll lay in bed for a little bit and think about what day it is, first of all, and what I have to do. And then I kind of think, well, I should probably be getting out of bed quick. You know, I mean, it's probably time to go do something. And I might go for a run, or I might do a bit of homework, or I might just lay in bed for a little while, and that's about it. But then, eventually I get up out of bed, and I'm doing my things, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to eat breakfast because I've always eaten breakfast, so I'm going to continue to eat breakfast today. And I guess I don't really think about that a whole lot. I just kind of do it. And then I kind of think about, all right, well, let's go to class. And then I kind of go into my nothing box for a little bit.
You have a nothing box?
Apparently everybody has a nothing box. I used to work with a guy who used to say all men have a nothing box.
Okay, then maybe...
So,
maybe it's just a guy thing, then.
I kind of spend most of my morning in my nothing box. Looking. Kind of just like this, maybe I'm thinking about something, but I'm not actually thinking
about
it. I'm just kind of like observing.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of looking at the things that go on, and I kind of spend most of the morning doing that. And about mid-morning comes around, I'm starting actually, I start thinking about, maybe I could do this, this would be cool, or maybe like, oh, maybe I want to go talk to this pretty girl or that, whatever it is. Maybe I want to do my homework this evening or maybe I want to do it right now. And I think, well, I should just do it right now and get it done with because then I can do whatever I want later. And that typically happens, partway through the day. But once it gets to, like the 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, I'm typically getting pretty hungry. So I try to eat food if I can. So I do that. And then I get tired after I eat food, so then I kind of drift back into the nothing box for a little bit, and I kind of just focus on, and I'm not really focusing on it, but I'm kind of just thinking about, man, it would be really nice to take a nap right now. And kind of tail end of the 2 o'clock, it's kind of like, well, I am not tired anymore, so I kind of think about doing things for the rest of the day, and it kind of does another little cycle there, and it's like, all right, well, come 4 or 5 o'clock, it's like, all right, now what do I need to think about? And then I'll think about something for a little bit, if it's a piece of homework or if it's some idea that I've been thinking about. It's just like, all right, well, this is interesting, this works, this doesn't, this are the merits to it, these are the disadvantages to this idea. Should I do it? Probably not. Could I do it? Probably. And then if it's a really good idea, I do it. If it's not, I don't do it. I think I'm kind of rambling, but then... Then towards the end of the day, I kind of like to go into the nothing box again towards bedtime, like 9, 10 o'clock. It's like, all right, I'm going to sit down and read a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's back to the nothing box for a little bit. It's really not that eventful being me.
I think it's a very, like, not to be, like, stereotypical, but a very 5 answer.
Very 5
answer. Very, like, this is what I do and I weigh out this. And, like, so when do, like, do feelings, when do emotions come into play into your day? do you feel, like, what do you feel, like, during a typical day? Like, what emotions do you feel throughout the day? Or do you just feel pretty, like, consistent every day?
It depends on what I do that day. I mean, if I was to say a typical day was, that would be a typical day. And a typical day, I guess, yeah, I don't really know if I feel a whole lot of those. But, I mean, there are times when, like, I'll be talking to a person or, and then I'll have, I disagree with that person, or, man, I really think this person's cool, and I'll go off on, like a thought tangent. I'll be, like, imagining what the future could be like if I kept, you know, this person around, we built a relationship or whatever, and, you know, we became good friends or, you know, whatever it was. Or if I meet a girl, like, or if I even, like, just, like, say hi, someone's like, what it would be like, think about, you know, the future in that regard. Like, how could this person fit into my life in that way? And I guess there's emotions there. I mean, you kind of, they take a back burner. I don't know. But sometimes when they do, I kind of tend to focus on those. And that's the big problem for the day is, how do I deal with this feeling? Like, if I am excited about something, how do I deal with that? Or if I don't know. I mean, then those take over my thoughts for the day, and that kind of dictates the day. But that would be an abnormal day, because I don't think that happens. I mean, definitely, like, three days out of the week that happens, but 4 days out of the week, typically I don't think about them a whole lot.
Yeah. No, I like how you said that you, like, keep them on the back burner. I think that's interesting, actually.
I mean, they're still there, and, like, sometimes, you know, sometimes they're not there. I'll think about, like, if I'm, like, sad about something, which typically doesn't happen. I don't know if I'm sad about a whole lot. But then I'm really not happy about a whole lot either. I mean, I like things, I mean, don't get me wrong, but I mean, like, the genuine, like, happy feelings, I kind of reserve that for, like, once a month. I save it for special occasions.
For special occasions, yeah. That's funny. Well, speaking of, like, relationships, like, what do relationships for you look like typically? Like, this is kind of a general question, but, like, what do you, like, I don't know, what part do you play in relationships, and what like, emotions do you feel around that, and what do your friendships look like? Do you talk a lot? Like, in, you know what I mean? Do you have friends that you talk to every day? Do you text? Do you, like...
I typically... Like we've established before, I tend spend most of my time alone. And if I want to go do something at some point in the day, I'll be like, hey, you know, what are you doing later? Let's go do something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's typically more of like an event or like a thing. It's, you know, we plan. I try to plan it out if I'm gonna hang out with somebody. I don't know. It seems like I need to, like, prepare, I guess. I don't, but I don't prepare or anything.
No, it's just like,
are we gonna hang out today? Well, I don't want to typically be blindsided by it, but sometimes I do.
Yeah, no, I'm like,
sometimes
too, yeah.
I'll just wander over here and I'll be like, guess I'm hanging out with these guys tonight. and that's kind of what it does and what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess typically most of my friends contact me if they want to do something, which is fine, and I mean, sometimes I go out of the limit. I mean, it's not set in stone, but I go out on the limit. I like, hey, what are you doing? Let's do this. This could be really fun. But I guess more often than not, I would say that people talk to me for, like, they ask me to go do something.
Yeah.
But if they ask, I always try to do
like,
it.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you have, like, a lot of close friends or a few close friends, or do you have, like, only, like, one close friend and a lot of sort of close, or you know what I mean? Like, what kind of is your group like?
I guess it would depend on how you define a close friend. I would consider all the people that I associate with, you know, close friends.
Okay.
But I associate with a lot of people. So, I mean, does that mean they're close, or does that mean it's average? I mean,
no, actually, I don't know.
But I would consider, you know, if I had an issue, I would probably go to them for it, but I don't typically have a whole lot of issues.
Yeah, which I
would say that I'm a low maintenance friend.
Low maintenance. That's true, actually. I would agree with that. Like, you're not, you don't cause, like, I don't worry about you. You know what I mean? I don't worry, like, oh, I wonder if me and Kyle are still friends. You know what I mean? I never wondered, like, I could not see you for, like, 2 weeks, and, like, I don't have to, like, distance doesn't determine, like, if we're friends. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Whereas, like, sometimes some people, if, like, I haven't heard from them in a while, I'm like, oh, what did I do? Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, did I do something wrong?
No, I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's
it. Okay. What do you, what was I going to ask? Like, how do you deal with other people's emotions, typically? Maybe you don't know the answer. This wasn't on the list, but, like, do you, because, I mean, people around you have emotions. Like, what do you, how do you deal, because I'm sure people have, like, told you things and.
Right. I like to think I'm generally sympathetic.
Yeah.
Not empathetic, but sympathetic. Yeah. I feel bad for people sometimes, but at the same time, I think that, you know, a lot of the problems that people have are, I mean, easy to get over. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I felt like I've had a lot of similar problems to a lot of people, mm-hmm. and I like to feel that I just sit down and take some time, be alone for a little bit,
uh-huh.
figure it out,
yeah,
and you're okay.
It doesn't seem like the end of the world,
too. But it doesn't seem like some people do that. And I don't like to make that generalization at all, because everybody does figure it out in the end. Mm-hmm. But it seems like sometimes people forget to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the most important part. If you have an issue, you need to sit down by yourself and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But maybe that's just because I'm a five or, you know, whatever this number means. It makes me who I am.
No, but I think that's true. I think that's so true.
I think that's almost, you know, almost a universal truth. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things, and I mean, seldom does it happen, but yes, I have gone to people for help mm-hmm. before. I mean, when it's an issue that I just simply can't deal with or I haven't dealt with before, it's like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing here, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of lost. So then it's a different story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to someone about it, but typically, like,
yeah.
I don't know. When other people come to me with their issues, I try to, you know, use some sort of logic.
That's so true.
And be like, all right, well, this isn't the end of the world. You realize that, right? I mean,
yeah. No, that's...
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You got food in the fridge. You got water coming out of your faucet. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
And even those you don't need. You're doing better than most right now. But maybe that's me.
No, I think that's, I mean, I think that is very, like, a very key characteristic to you, like, that, but I also think that, like, what you said about, like, I think no matter what number you are, like, to sit alone in your feelings, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through, like, is, you know, important. Like, I think everyone needs to do that. Like,
but it does no good to stew on them either.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't just sit there and let it simmer, and, I mean, you gotta deal with it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, however that is. Some people like to go for a run. Some people like to play video games. Some people like to do whatever. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to stay on the topic of relationships, I think, a little bit. And just name, like, one thing that you're good at in relationships. With maybe we already, like, talked about it. And then one thing that you could, like, improve on in like, your relationships, friendships. Like, something that you could do better.
I guess one thing I am good at, I like to think I can listen pretty well, and I like to think that if somebody comes to me with a problem, we can typically sit down and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that. I like to think whenever somebody leaves, you know, a meeting with me about an issue, I like to think that we have at least progressed the remediation of the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like to think that I can put things into perspective well for people.
That's, yes.
Fit into, like, the bigger picture, or, you know, fit into the smaller picture. You know, if you need to be more focused on something, or you need to
mm-hmm.
expand your view on a certain issue. I like to think I can do that pretty well. When it comes to improving my relationships, I would probably say that I would probably be a little bit more emotional, some people might say, but you know, like sharing feelings or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about it before, but I think
we
that would probably be the biggest issue that I would have. I don't do that. I'd hardly even do that with myself.
Yeah, so. That's
so. I mean, it's mm-hmm. probably the way it goes, and it's probably not very healthy. I don't know if it's unhealthy, but hey, I'm fully functional.
You seem fine. Right. Yeah, you seem like you're doing okay. But yeah, I do kind of like. I remember wondering that, like, I don't really actually know how Kyle's feeling. Like, I know what he's doing and like what is going on in his life, but like, how does he feel about all of this stuff? Like,
comes back to the nothing box.
Yeah,
it's a glorious space, I tell you what.
I'm like actually jealous of this. Like, I didn't know that it existed.
Oh, it's a thing.
Oh my gosh,
it's a real thing. I, you know, and maybe it's a waste of my time, but I really enjoy
it. I don't know.
It.
I think because I guess maybe my nothing box would be like when I But I'm still doing stuff. Like, I'm still, like, going on YouTube, watching videos, going through, like, the internet and stuff. Like, I guess that's kind of where I, like, am able to just think about whatever. Or, you know what I mean? I can, like, pick versus, like, as I go through my day, like, I can't really, like, I feel like I don't have much control over what I'm feeling all the time. You know what I mean? Like, and then once I feel something, it feels like it controls the rest of, you know what I mean? Until I feel something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if I here's where I'm, like, different from you is, like, if I, like, mess up on something in the beginning of the day where, like, I posted the wrong post on the wrong page or, like, messed up on, like, a photo and it looks bad. Like, if that starts off my day, then, like, the rest, like, as I go forward to the rest of my day, I'm already, like, discouraged, already feel, like, awful.
Oh, yeah.
Until something else happens where someone's like, hey, like, you're doing a good job. Like, I really like, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, like, I'm fine. You know what I mean? And then, like, it just, like, shifts. Like,
I
so it's hard
agree
to.
With that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing. I mean, like, if I wake up and I don't know, burn my toast. I don't really eat toast, but if I burn my toast in the morning, I'm going to think, man, today is over. Done. Not doing it today. But I know what you mean. Like, if something bad happens in the morning, like, I.
But you're, like, you're so good at just, like, looking past it, though. I feel like you
right.
said, putting things into perspective. I feel like you're just good at, like. Like, in the moment, it'll, like, get to you, but then, like, you just see the bigger picture, I feel like, somehow.
Right.
You just are like, well, at least I have another slice of bread.
Well, I mean, like, one time, like, for example, last semester I was writing my senior seminar paper, and I realized that I'm a horrible writer. And so I would have a friend, you know, like, review a part of my paper, and I'd be like, well, there's a lot wrong with this. And I need to fix this. But it was like, all right, well, now I feel dumb, you know, I just can't write this paper, I should know about this, I did the research on it, da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, man, my day is... What a bad day. I don't know how to write. I can't do anything. It's like, wait a second. This isn't even that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I don't really know if that's relevant at all, but I think it pertains
I think so.
To something.
Yes, yes, it does. Okay, we're going to, like, switch. Actually, no, we're not. Kinda. So, Kyle is known for having very, like, strong opinions on things. Some things are important that he has opinions on. Some things are not so much. But you're still able to, like, keep friendships while having strong opinions. Do you know how you do that? Like, how are you able to, like, say your mind while also not, like, offending someone and risking that being, you know, the end of a friendship or something?
I think it comes down a lot to the language that you use when you're bringing up the issue. And as you approach the person with the issue. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest part is if you say... Like, if, for example, if you're arguing with somebody about not doing the dishes or something, I don't know. Something kind of menial like that. It's like, you never do that. Well, don't say you never did that, because obviously people do that sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's, nobody's going to respond well to that. But I think, the language that you use is the biggest part. So I don't think I use a lot of language like that. And you'll probably know... You'll probably notice when you're watching or listening to this that I say, I don't think, or I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll say, you know, a lot. If you haven't noticed, I've probably said it over 100 times.
I say that a
you
lot
know?
Too.
And it's
yeah.
just, and it's, I mean it as a question. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, do you agree? Are
like,
you understanding what
in,
I'm
like,
saying? And then if they have like a look on their face and it's like, no. And then I kind of have to like, all right, are you, like, then I elaborate a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything is very like absolute, either. Like Molly says that I like she thinks that I have strong opinions. I don't really have many strong opinions, if any. I like to think that there's some you know things that you should do, and I guess those are my opinions. but if somebody can come up to me and say, well. In the big picture, or at what scale, or in what way is something better or worse? Well, it's like, okay, well, if, you know, I'm trying to think of like a non-controversial example to
yeah.
this.
That's, yeah.
But, okay, so something that I know a little bit about, invasive species
oh, yeah.
are like a big thing in conservation. Well, some people are of the opinion that invasive species are not a bad thing, and this is very few people, but... They think that they're not a bad thing because, you know, they're helping build, like, a global ecosystem rather than, like, a more localized ecosystem. Well, and then, I mean, based on a bunch of other research that I read in my education is like, all right, well, no, we don't, you know, invasive species do disrupt things. They are, you know, but then you say on the 1,000-year scale, you know, or 10,000 years from now, is it really the end of the world if 3 to 4, you know, species took over an area and then they started adapting and evolving, if that's what you believe, and they, you know, create a new ecosystem that's 1,000 years in the future. So, I mean, there really aren't a whole lot of rights and wrongs, I don't think. I think that it really depends on, and I, when I'm having a conversation about my opinions, that's how I do it. That's how I facilitate my conversation. So I don't really say, well, this is my opinion and I'm not changing it because this is right and this is all I know. Well, not really. No one knows everything. You're going to be wrong sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the way of, it's kind of the way of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're definitely like very open-minded. You know what I mean? You do. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, you're very open-minded, but you have, like, your opinion is always willing to change. I'm never, like, feeling like you're going to, like, judge me or, like, that I'm, it's pointless to, like, discuss things with you because, you know what I mean? Like, you're, like, I don't know. Yeah, so it always definitely keeps things interesting.
Some would say it's because I don't care a whole lot. I don't even think that's necessarily true. Mm-hmm. But some people have said, like, well, maybe you just don't care a whole lot about it. I don't think so. I think I care about this. I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I've spent a decent amount of time, you know, thinking about whatever issue it is. I'm like, I think I care about this. I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah.
I just am willing to. I don't know a whole lot about a whole lot. So if somebody comes to me with, well, this, that, and the other thing, okay,
mm-hmm.
and tell me more about it, please.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can either disagree or agree based on what they say. But even then, with that topic, I still don't know mm-hmm. where I stand on it.
Yeah, no, I heard that, like, one of the smartest things you can say is, I don't know. Or, like, one of the, like, bravest things. Or, like, something think, like that. It was, like, what I think it's, like, maybe it wasn't the smartest, but it was, like, something like that. Like, I think that's true. I think I like to admit that you don't know something is like a very like.
But that's not the pinnacle of it. I mean, that's not a smart thing. I mean, I think there are objectively smart things to say, and there are objectively mm-hmm. smart. Like if you can. So I had a really good. I was thinking about this one in particular earlier, and I was like, okay, this is a really good example. I can bring this up. It's just going, wow. No, I can't think of it right now. So if you say, man, this is an issue. This was really good. If you say, I need a glass of milk.
Okay.
You can always, that's not even good. You can always expand on something. So if you say, I believe in, what is it? What's the big controversy in psychology? Nature versus nurture. I believe in nature. You know, nature influences everything. Well, at what scale? I mean, it really depends on the scale that you're talking about. Now I've lost my own train of thought.
It's okay.
I'm not good at this.
No, you're doing great. If you remember it, just like say it and you can say it. I think, so this is one thing that we've had sort of conversations about. But your opinion on God, which is, like, a very, like, I think even, you know, people who do believe in God still have a lot of opinions on God, you know what I mean? So I guess the first question is, what is your kind of, like, are you, like, what are you in your stance with God? And then what do you think about God? Or do you even believe in him? Or do you think we're all just crazy?
I don't think anybody's more crazy than I am. I think I'm pretty crazy. I would say I do believe in God. Maybe not some sort of anthropomorphic version that I think a lot of people have, but
what does that mean?
So like,
and for someone who's listening, who's like, what is that?
Like some people, anthropomorphic means like with like a human aspect or human element to it, and whether that's the defining or dominant feature in like the idea or thing, doesn't really matter. But I don't think it's, you know, people like say, well, if God is just, well, God's not a person. He's not, you know, going to be just. I mean, he's going to do whatever he wants. I mean, there's like some entity, but he's not a person that says, well, this is okay or this is bad for people or I don't know. He's got, I don't really know how to explain it. I don't think he's, like, a person, though. I don't think he's a he. I think it's a thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I don't think he's a person, either.
Right. But some people, I have talked to some people, and it's like, well, he does this, and they use, like, he a lot, or she, you know. Some people use she, and
I would use he.
And I was like, well, I don't even know. I mean, it helps, and I've done it. I literally just called him a he for, like, a minute. But I don't think that's necessarily the, you know, the meaning of it.
Okay.
I guess, short, I say I do believe. I don't often think about it unless I need to.
Yeah, unless it comes up.
Unless it's really pertinent to the day or the conversation, or if I'm having some sort of existential crisis, it's like, what do I believe? And I just need to touch back on that and be like, this is kind of what I think about. But I haven't had an issue like that in a while, so I think I'm okay.
Did you grow up in the... I feel like maybe I've asked you this, but, like, did you grow up, like, going to church, or did you... Yeah. Are your family... Yeah.
Yep. My family's all pretty Lutheran for the most part. I would say that if I was anything at this point, it'd probably be, like, non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, read the Bible. It'll tell you all the things that you need to know. I mean, you can learn enough from reading that if you ought to.
And
I
think, didn't you read the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle read the whole Bible, so he's ahead of me.
Well, I think you ought to read, you know, read the book you believe if you're going to believe it.
I've read it. I just haven't read all of it.
Right.
Not, like, straight through.
And I guess that was just me being me, and I felt like I needed to read it one day, so I read it.
That's awesome. Do you, like, what are your opinions on the Bible? Like, after reading it, like, what is your kind of summary of, like, what do you...
I think there's a lot of things. I think it's definitely a book that you have to analyze.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read it one time, and you can think 37 different things about it. You can read it a second time.
Yeah.
1,000 different things about it. And, yeah. I mean, you can just continually think more and more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And get different answers every time you read it. As for that, you know, I think it's very interesting. I think it's a... I don't know if I want to say it's... It's very thought-provoking. I mean, nonetheless. I mean, I even, you know, if you read the Bible, you know, God tells you he wants you to challenge his word. And if the Bible is his word, challenge everything that he says in there. I mean, question if it's the truth. Question if it's real or not. And make your own decisions. Obviously... Things that he writes in there, he calls them the truth, but maybe they're supposed to be a facade, or maybe they're supposed to make you question him and be like, well, this is not necessarily it, or this is it. And granted, I'm not an expert on it. I'm not, you know, I've never really studied it, but yeah, I think I put some time into it and think about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's interesting.
But it's meant to be questioned, yeah. I think. I mean, you're supposed to believe, you know, most of it, but I think you're supposed to question a lot of it, too. And I think that's the important part.
I like that. Okay. What about, like, since, again, like, and I don't want to, like, make generalizations, but since you do, you are, like, focused on facts, you know, you like to, and that's what makes you, I think, a good, like, debater and a good, like, person to, like, have discussions with, because you all, it's not, like, just things that you're feeling or things that, you know, maybe will be true or things that possibly could happen in the future. It's like, no, but this is how it is. Given that, what is your opinion on, like, faith? Like, how does that tie in? How does, like, faith, like, kind of, like, faith...
Faith as in, like, the religious sense, or faith that I'm going to make it through the day, or what kind of faith are we talking about here?
I kind of want to go both directions, but I don't know how. Yeah. Like, for me, like, faith is important in, like, you know, the religious sense, you know what I mean? Like, faith in God, and, like, because you can't see him. We have, like, evidence, but not, like... hardcore evidence that, like, a lot of people want.
Nothing you can publish in a journal.
Yes, yeah. Nothing that could be like, okay, everyone has to believe that God exists because this evidence has, you know what I mean? God, like, left his signature somewhere, you know? So how do you, like, balance, like, faith? Either just faith in things that, I don't know, like, things that you can't see with, like, facts. Like, do you think there's a place for faith?
Yeah. I think faith is a very important thing to have. Whether it's in a religious aspect or whether it's in, you know, like, faith that you're going to have food tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're going to know where you're going to sleep, or, you know, what you're going to be doing tomorrow in terms of work, if you're going to be having an income, if you're going to make money. I think, you know, that's important because you have to have a level of comfort to function well. And if faith, you know, in and your religion is what gets you through the day, great. If faith in knowing that you're going to have food or friends to hang out with or da-da-da-da-da, this, that, the other thing that you think, if you have faith that your phone's going to work tomorrow, if that's how you operate, I think you ought to have that. I mean, you ought to have some sort of comfort and ability to rely on your thought. I mean, faith is a reliance on what you think. I mean, you can bank on what you're thinking to be true. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And if religion tends to be your outlet for that, great. 100%. Awesome. But, I mean, if it's simply, you know, what are you going to eat? Great, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Got to eat. That's yeah. important, too.
Yeah. I don't know if this ties into faith, really, but what is something that keeps you motivated or helps you keep the faith, whether, like, whatever you have faith in, whether it is just, like, if it is God or if it is, like, yourself or, like, what helps you, I guess, yeah, keep the faith or keep motivated throughout the day?
I don't know if I get to keep, I don't know if I'm in control of that. I think it kind of happens. I think that kind of comes from what happens in the day. A lot of what I deal with is outside, everybody deals with outside influences all the time. I think that's kind of what dictates a lot of my faith. So if somebody comes up to me and says, well, like when I got the job in Montana, the guy came up to me, he didn't come up to me, but he called me or emailed me and said, hey, we'd like to have you come to Montana. I was like, all right, well, now I need to readjust what, will I be able to talk to my friends that I made in college? Where will I be after the 6 months? So I don't know if I have a whole lot of faith in what I'm going to be doing. So I guess, I don't know. That's a hard question for me to answer. I don't know. I kind of just do.
You kind of just do it?
I know that everything's worked out until this point, and I've been clever enough to make everything work out. So I think I guess I just don't worry about that. I guess I bank on myself to know that I'm going to be all right.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it comes. I guess I was wrong initially when I said that it comes from outside. I think it comes from inside.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just do it because that's what I always have done. I always succeed. No, I don't always succeed. I make a lot of mistakes, but I think in the end everything works out well for at least it's worked out for me so far.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, my luck will probably run dry, but that day's yet to come.
Okay, so now we're really going to change topics. Kyle doesn't have social media at all. He doesn't have, the only thing he has is like LinkedIn, which is the most boring social network he could possibly be on. So I, like me being a person who's pretty active on social media, kind of thinks he's like, I just don't understand. So what are your thoughts on social media? Like, how do you feel about it? Do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing? What are your thoughts on it, and why don't you have it?
I'm not going to call it inherently good. I'm not going to call it inherently bad, because it has its merits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say it doesn't. It has its disadvantages as well. I personally tend to think more about the disadvantages of it, which more FaceTime less FaceTime with people, less, communication, direct communication. Nothing seems as personal when you're using it. That's kind of the biggest thing that I feel about it. It doesn't seem as personal. It seems more artificial whenever I text somebody saying, hey, you want to go do something? It's like, why don't I just like walk down the street or upstairs and ask them, or like, wait until I see him later. It doesn't seem natural. It doesn't seem as almost, an organic, relationship, if that's a thing. But I guess that's like my biggest thing against it. But I mean, it's great in terms of time efficiency. I mean, you can really do a whole lot with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it makes things really easy. I mean, obviously, computers are great. I love them. They're great pieces of technology, but I think sometimes we use them too much. And they're very good work tools. I don't think that I enjoy it. I used it when I was using Facebook a little bit was in high school. And I was like,
what made you?
All right.
You just got bored of it or not?
Right. Well, I didn't really use it a whole lot because, I don't know, I just didn't really have a need for it. And now I still think, like, I don't really have a need for it. Like, if somebody wants to tell me what they're doing all the time, just tell me about it. We can sit down and have a conversation about it. Like, sit down and talk to me about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of work stuff, I love having email. I love being able to send an email to somebody and be like, hey, do I need this, that, and the other thing? Or calling someone up and be like, hey, I need this. Or even sending a text just quick to make sure they have the information and they can do what they need to do with it. I mean, it's all great for that. But in my personal relationships, I mean, sometimes it helps if, like, hey, where are you at? Why are you late? You know, that's kind of nice. But I don't know. I think it has definitely taken over too much of people's lives. And that's the deal. I like it. Everything's good in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just throw that cliche in there. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point to bring up.
But that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Do you feel ever like you're missing out? Not having social media?
I'm sure I'm missing out on things.
But you don't feel like you are?
I don't feel they're important things. I mean, if they're having like a little banter or argument on Facebook, maybe I could put my opinion in there. Is it going to matter if I do or not? No, it's not. I mean, if it's an important enough issue, they can talk to me about it. I would be delighted to sit down and have a conversation with them. But I don't think I am.
You don't think you are?
I mean, I'm sure there's things that I am missing out on that I just don't understand about it.
Yeah.
But I don't value them currently. Maybe it's because I don't know. But maybe it's because they're not important enough.
Yeah. I know, because you probably don't even know, like, what you're missing out on, or what, good and bad, you know what I mean? Because you're also, like, there's a lot of things that you are, like, avoiding that's, like, good, you know what I mean? That you're, like, social, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I guess part of it, too, is, like, the whole media presence thing, like, people can advertise to you and whatnot, and I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of.
I mean, I don't need it. Like, people trying to, like, push their opinions on me, it's like, sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have an opinion. I don't want it.
Yeah.
Or you have an idea on it. Like, I tend to think I keep my opinions myself. If I want yours, I'll ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I kind of feel on the internet. If I want your opinion, I'm going to ask you for it. But don't give it to me. But, I mean, that's kind of what you pay for when you're using something free online, is you're going to get someone else's opinions and someone else's influence.
What are some other benefits that you can think of not having social media? Like, as you've been, like, what you've heard about it, other people's experiences, or just, like, even just in your daily life, like, what's something that you like about not having it?
Like you said earlier, I don't really know what I'm missing because I don't use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard someone talk about how if you use it all day, it can make you really appreciate the time that you have when you're not using it.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I am not appreciating the time that I spend not using the technology as much as I should. I mean, because when you are doing something or aren't doing something, your grass is always greener on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you might yearn for something because you don't have it, but when you get it, it comes a new normal. This is all right, you know, it's whatever. It's like being in a relationship if you've never been in a relationship. Man, this is really great for a little while, and then it becomes, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
And you kind of forget that, like, oh, man, this is one of the most important things that I could ever be doing, you know, and get myself into. And then you kind of take it for granted. So maybe that's where I'm at right now. Maybe just not using it, I'm kind of taking it for granted. I don't think I am because I tend to enjoy most of my time.
I think so, too. Like, and I think the fact that even, like, at the end of the day, like, you read a book. You know what I mean? You just have a lot of extra time that, like, most people would just, like, resort to checking their phone or, you know, I feel like even you're just, like, not on your phone as much. Like, when I'm around you or, like you just aren't, like, glued to your phone. Like, I'm definitely, like, always on my, like, like, so, yeah, I just think that that's something that, I don't know, you're just very present, I feel like.
Sometimes. When sometimes. I'm not in my nothing box.
That's okay. Yes, that's valid. Yeah, no.
But that's a box of my own creation, not a box that sits in my pocket.
Yeah, not like a, yes, like a, yes. Because this definitely can be a nothing box. Like, it literally can be so, like, dead end. Like, it's like, what? Yeah, but then again, like, sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes it can be, like, your connection to, like, the world. Do you know what I mean? Or your way to, like, I don't know. It I don't know. It can just be, like you said, in moderation, it's good. And, yeah. Let's see. Anything else of, like, do you remember what you were going to say before?
No.
Lost. It's gone.
It's gone. I won't figure it out.
I think we're on the last question, actually.
The last question.
If you're ready for it.
I think I've handled all the other questions, I can handle one more.
You did a really great job with some of these, because I wouldn't know how to answer some of them. Like, as I asked them, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know.
It was kind of painful, but we're almost done.
Okay, so what is one thing in your experience, let's just go, like, maybe just in general, of what you've noticed lately, what is something that the world needs more of?
I mean, as a conservationist, the one thing that I can say is habitat.
Habitat?
Quality habitat. That would be the one thing I would say, but I think is if you're looking for something a little bit more social, is that what you're kind of looking for?
I feel like
you would look for something more social.
Applicable to life, maybe.
Right, and you know, like a mental well-being or like an emotional thing that I really am not the best person to provide.
No, but I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong because, like, I think you, of all people, might be, like, the most perfect person to ask that because you don't let them affect you. Like, you're able to, like, move past them.
I think,
I don't know,
one of the biggest things is that, and I mean, it depends on through what paradigm are you looking at, you know, society or the United States or the people, humanity as a whole. But I think one thing that I do tend to think about a lot is how sensitive people are. And I think it's completely asinine that people are so sensitive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If I was that sensitive all the time, I don't think I'd be alive anymore.
Yeah.
I probably would be dead by now. I think people need to be less sensitive. And I mean, like, being sensitive is a good thing.
Yes.
But when you're having a conversation with someone and you get so angry that you just can't think straight, well, no one, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't get that sensitive mm-hmm. about things. I mean, there are things that I like, you know, some love, appreciate, whatever. I feel those things too, but I don't get it when people get so angry or they start crying in the middle of a conversation. I mean, these things are important. I don't mean to devalue them, but why?
Yeah.
And of course, another typical answer from what seems to be, according to this thing, a typical five. I don't get why people are so emotional. But I think that's the thing, like, you see people talk and they'll say, like, a racial slur or something, and by no means do I condone racial slurs, but when people just, like, get really angry about it, I mean, I slightly understand why people get angry about it. I mean, it's not okay. I don't agree with it whatsoever, but when you start yelling and throwing punches and stuff, like, that's a little bit different. I mean, you gotta control yourself a little bit. I mean, remember, it takes two to tango, so, I mean, if one person is gonna get mad at the other person for what a different person did, well, that person's accountable for it too. The other person's equally accountable for how they respond to it. So I think that's probably the biggest deal that I have noticed. Did you say what the world needs more of or less of?
Oh, more.
I think I answered what it needs less of.
But that's like, yes.
It needs less sensitivity. It needs more tolerance.
Yeah.
And that goes for just what I could be more tolerant too, but, and maybe even that's a hot button, touchy word that, you know, some people throw around frequently. I don't know, but I think that's the way that I would describe it. Needs more tolerance.
I like that. I think.
But I mean, it's important to have your views, and it's important to hold on to what you believe to be true, because you know that gives you culture, it gives you identity, da 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 da. But you have to understand that other people have these things too.
Yes.
You're not the only one.
Yes, that's a very good point. I like that,
yeah. I mean, whatever you want to call it, tolerance, respect. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are multitude of words to describe it, but I think that's probably what I would say.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And even with, like, I think, like, at least in the world that I'm in on, like, social media, it's very, like, I don't know if I, like, want to say that, or, like, it's almost, like, valued to be, like, really sensitive. Yeah, yes.
Seeing that, yeah.
Or, like, it's, yes. And I, while I do, like, because I love when people are vulnerable and share their feelings and, you know, but there is a balance of, like, you can't take everything to heart. And you can't think that everything everyone does to you is out to get you.
Right.
And that, like, I think, I heard this somewhere else too, like having a soft heart, but like tough skin, like to just like, you want to have a heart for people, but you can't let them. I think it was like, Emily text, she says, let me know when you're all done with the podcast. Okay. We're almost done. Okay. Cool. I think it was a quote from a pastor or something. Cause like when he's in ministry, like talking to all the people from all walks of life, like he says he, as a pastor, has to have tough skin,
right?
You know? And absolutely. I think what you're saying is like such a good reminder, especially like for me, like personally, even just like, okay, like I don't need to be so sensitive about things. Like, yes, it's good to be soft and to like have that spot for people and for what you're feeling. But, like, you don't need to be so sensitive. Like, you don't need to take everything to heart. You know what I mean? Sometimes things just aren't, some things aren't meant for the heart. You know what I mean? Right. They're literally just, they're just facts. They're just what they are. And that's.
Well, half the things people say, I mean, they don't even intend for you to take them to heart. Yeah. So why should you take them to heart if they don't even mean them?
They weren't supposed to go there. Like, you're yeah.
It's an interesting thing. But, yeah, I would say that sensitivity, less of that, more tolerance, respect, whatever you want to call it. But actually, my initial answer was more habitat, so that's my
answer. There we go.
More good quality habitat.
All right. Well, Kyle, this has been honestly like one of the most fun conversations I've had on the podcast. And actually, well, I was going to say you're the first guy, but my brother was actually beat to it, so.
That's okay.
But you're the first person who was not my family who is a guy, so.
Well, I feel honored.
Yes, I'm so glad this worked out, actually. This would be the part where I'd ask you, like, where people can find you and what your social media links are.
You'll find me in Montana at some point in the next 6 months.
So if you're driving through, make sure you look for, I don't know how they'd find you. They just.
The Red Rock Lakes National Wildlife Refuge. That's where I'm going to be.
There you go. Plan your next vacation there.
Yeah.
And you're flying Kyle.
There.
Improving the habitat.
That's exactly what I'll be doing.
Okay. Well, I will see you guys next week on the Laundry Chat podcast. I hate ending this. You should end it for me. You should say something.
Well, have a good day and check for holes in your pockets.
Okay. Bye, you guys.